welcome to Disciple Making Mala, a podcast to encourage, inspire, and equip you to make disciples in your home and in the world. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Disciple Making Mama. My name is Anne, and I'm so glad that you're joining me here today on my couch. I've just put all the kids to bed. I hope they'll stay asleep while I'm talking. I hope I'm not going to speak that long. I was speaking to a friend this week who's also listening to the podcast, which is kind of humbling for me that people I actually know and like and respect a lot myself are listening to this podcast. And so it's fun to be speaking to you, but it also makes me think, wow, I really want to make sense in what I'm saying here. And I also really want to be myself, you know, in speaking to you here on the podcast and not some, not putting on some pretense or something like that. But anyways, she said, it's nice to hear me chatting away on the podcast. And I thought, yes, sometimes I'm really chatting away and I could probably say things a little bit more concise. So I'm going to try to not make as long an episode this time, but I do enjoy chatting with you. I do enjoy this kind of informal way of just passing on what I've been taught, either by other people or by the Lord or by just life. And yeah, I do really enjoy that. And sometimes I can get a bit chatty. And that, actually, I did not plan this, but this is a perfect introduction for today's episode, because today's episode is called What Are You Gossiping About? Now, why am I saying this? Every Friday, we have started a little tradition here. That is my husband Hanu and our three kids and I. And our kids are still really small. Our oldest, Fuka, is 3 and now 9 months. But she has Down syndrome, so she's a bit developmentally delayed. And then our second son is 2.5. And then we have Nanya, our youngest, who's 5 months old. So they're really still small. But from time to time, like all kids, they do want to watch a bit of TV. And honestly, I am not super thrilled about watching TV programs that appeal to them. My son Ayumu loves watching buses. So he is extremely excited when I just type in buses of London, for example. There are a lot of buses in London, it seems, so that's a good place to search for. And then it seems there are people who are standing at the side of the road taking videos and filming buses driving by, which my son is enthralled by. So yeah, anyways, that is their taste of TV or screen time. But as you can imagine, that is not the most exciting for me. So once a week on Friday nights, when Hanu comes home and we've eaten dinner, we actually watch a little movie all together. And we've been watching a series called The Torchlighters. And this is, obviously, I'm not advertising in any ways professionally here. This is just me sharing what I'm really enjoying. It's a series produced by Christians, and they work very closely together with The Voice of the Martyrs and basically tell stories of Christian heroes in cartoon format that's very child-friendly, but also really interesting, informative, and challenging and edifying for adults. They have, I think at this stage, maybe 20 stories out. So, and it's from people as varied as Perpetua, who was an early Christian martyr, to Jim Elliot, over Martin Luther, over missionaries like Gladys Aylward or Amy Carmichael. So really very varied stories, but very well done. And often Hanno and I actually have tears in our eyes because something is touched in us as well, and we're challenged by those people's lives. But it's also very, just lovely for the kids to watch. And even my 2.5-year-old, who is very energetic and does not have the longest attention span, usually is sitting quietly on the couch and watching those stories. So that is a very warm recommendation to all you mamas out there. But a few weeks ago, we also did that. We watched one of those stories, and we watched the story of John Bunyan, who is a very famous Christian writer, although many people might not have heard his name. He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which is the second most sold Christian book after the Bible worldwide in history. And it's an allegory about the Christian life, which is, here comes another recommendation for you if you haven't read that book. It's the original, it's a little bit it's quite old English. There is an abridged version, although the abridged version doesn't have kind of the life really of the original, so you can choose which one you want to read. But it is really very a very, very good picture of the Christian life, and encouraging and perspective giving, and really driving you on in your pursuit of Jesus. Anyways, John Bunyan did not grow up as a Christian, and in fact he was known as quite a bad boy, always full of mischief and even kind of, you know, borderline, not just mischief, but really bad stuff that he was doing. But then one day he was also, I think, running away from somebody because he had done something bad, and he was just kind of hiding himself. And he happened to be overhearing a group of housewives who were just chit-chatting and gossiping away. And one of the ladies there shared what God had been speaking to her about. She spoke about a specific scripture that just spoke to her so much, and how it changed her, how it set her free, and how she's just so joyful about the Lord. And she was not aware that she had any other audience but the other friends that she was chatting to. But John Bunyan was listening, and he was touched and stirred by that housewife's account of experiencing Jesus in her daily life. And so much so that that was the beginning of him repenting, turning to Jesus, becoming a preacher and preaching even against opposition and in persecution, eventually being thrown into prison several times, and ending up writing this very famous, very encouraging and faith-giving book that is read even centuries later. But it all started with a housewife who was just sharing her heart with other housewives, chit-chatting away, but she had a relationship with Jesus, and because her heart was full of Jesus, it overflowed through her mouth. And yeah, her genuine, authentic witness touched John Bunyan's heart and played a part in him turning to Jesus. Now that really encouraged me in a way, but it also challenged me, because I thought, if someone overheard me chit-chatting away, say at the supermarket with another lady, say with my friends in my garden, say at the playground, what would they hear? Would they hear the word of God that I've just freshly read, that has just freshly come home to me, spoken to me, challenged me, nourished me, and made me excited about Jesus? Would they hear praise? Would they hear a testimony of God, of what God has done recently in my life? Or would they hear just shallow stuff, just nonsense that's kind of not bad, but really worth nothing? Or maybe even worse, would they hear complaints? Would they hear negativity? Would they hear even negative talk about other people? Would they hear all kinds of, just things that are not really worth saying? And it reminded me of what Jesus said to his followers. In Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37, Jesus said, "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." So Jesus is using an example here, an image here for people. We see that often, that Jesus speaks about people bearing fruit, and of course, I'm wanting people to bear good fruit. And when Jesus speaks about fruit, he often speaks about the fact that the fruit shows what is actually going on a deeper level. So a good tree will produce good fruit, and a bad tree will produce bad fruit. And in the same way, Jesus also wants us to bear good fruit. And the good fruit will show if our hearts are right, if our hearts are humble before God, if our hearts are in connection with the heart of God, then there will be good fruit. It's nothing that we have to produce in an effort to please God, or in an effort to even make him like us. But when our hearts are in connection with his heart, if we've repented and turned to God, and if we are walking with him daily, then we will naturally produce good fruit, just like a good tree naturally produces good fruit. But Jesus addresses these words to the Pharisees, who were very religious on the outside, but whose hearts were not right on the inside. And Jesus saw right through them, and he was not interested in their outward niceties, in their outward appearance of being law-abiding followers of God, because he saw that there was strife and envy, that there was pride, and that there was often a lack of love for God in their hearts, that they sought to connect with God in their own effort, and through trying to keep the law and kind of putting themselves over other people who they thought are not as good at keeping the law as they were. And Jesus was not impressed by that. He continues, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? How can you who are evil say anything good?" So Jesus sees their identity, sees their heart, he sees that they are evil, and he says, therefore, they cannot say anything good. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So these are quite sobering words of Jesus, aren't they? He is, really giving a lot of importance to our words, to what we're saying, because, as I've said, there's such they show so much about what is going on in our hearts. A good man will store up good in his heart, and his mouth will speak of that good, but an evil man will store up evil in his heart. Now, as I've pointed out, Jesus is concerned about the heart, the inside of us, the inner person of the heart. And we've seen, as we've looked at the gospel, that Jesus is renewing that heart, that inner person, that when we turn to him, when we are born again, he gives us a new heart. And he, in fact, gives us a good heart. I mean, that is incredible, because when we turn to Jesus, we realize how evil our hearts truly are. We realize how many empty words we speak all the time. We realize how many harmful words we have spoken. I think especially as moms, that we're often so aware of that, that we spend a lot of time with our kids, and we can use a lot of empty words on them, and we can even use a lot of damaging words on them. But Jesus wants to take that away. If we turn to him and we say, "Sorry, Jesus, I have wasted so many words. I've said so many damaging words. Please forgive me. Please help me to change." He is faithful, and he will forgive us, and he will help us through his Holy Spirit to speak good words. So I just want to say that as a preface. This is not, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. If you've said words that were not right or that were simply useless, just turn to Jesus and say sorry, and he's going to forgive you, and he's going to take that away and help you to also reflect him and reflect what he's doing in your heart through your speech. So that just as a little preface. But beyond that, we see in this that Jesus draws this correlation between our hearts and our speech. And he wants our hearts and our speech to also match up, because that was what he was criticizing in the Pharisees, that they were these holy talkers, that they were saying all the right things, that they were discussing these intricate things about the law, but that their hearts were not really yielded to God and in connection to him, that they didn't love the people that God so loved. And I think that is a challenge to us, that our words must also really come from our hearts, especially when we speak about the Lord. If our efforts to evangelize people around us through our words is merely a surface level thing, something mechanical, a mere duty, people will notice, and it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to be effective. There's not going to be a connection. What made this these words of that housewife that John Bunyan listened to so very effective was that she was just overflowing from her heart of what God had spoken to her in his word, and that authenticity touched him. And in the same way, what we say about the Lord, what we say about the gospel, must come from a place of authenticity, of a place of reality in our own hearts. Our hearts have to be filled with the thoughts, words, and truth of God, so that our evangelistic words become an overflow, not a forceful pumping up of something. I think I've said that a few times, that if our evangelism is just something that we kind of mechanically do, not out of love for God and out of love for the people in front of us, then it's not going to be very effective. It's not the way Jesus intended it. It's not the way Jesus did it. When he spoke to people, he really spoke from his heart. Sometimes he spoke harsh words, but it was because his heart was breaking for the people who were going astray. His heart was breaking for false teachers who were telling wrong things about God. His heart was breaking for, yeah, people who were just so blinded that they wouldn't turn away from their sin. And then Jesus even used harsh words, but it came from a heart of love, of care, a heart that was in connection with the Father. And as we evangelize, as we want to share the good news, as we want to share about life with God, it must also come from that place of authenticity and reality in our hearts. So practically, what can we do to, make our words like that? Number one, I think it's now Easter, and this is actually a great time for this number one. Ponder what God has done. Ponder what Jesus did, becoming a man, living on this earth, pointing the way to God, then dying at the cross, taking our sin, our shame, our sickness, our separation from God on himself, and overcoming it through his resurrection. Think about that. Think about this amazing good news that there is in this confused world of today. And as you ponder that, that is going to shape your words. Number two, talk to Jesus. Then it will be natural to talk to others about him. It's funny, I realized that in myself, that I often say to other people, oh, I've been talking with Hanu about this and that. I've been saying this or that to Hanu. And I often kind of recount my conversations that I have had with my husband to other people. And in the same way, if you are constantly talking to Jesus, that is going to have an influence on the way you are talking. You're going to start saying, I've been speaking to Jesus about this. I've been asking Jesus lately about this or that, and he said this. I've been wondering about this or that, and as I was bringing that question before God, he led me to this Bible passage, or whatever it may be. If you are talking to Jesus, that will influence how you are talking to other people. Thirdly, read, listen to, and speak about the Bible. And I know many of us are really busy, and I'm a mom of little ones. Honestly, I don't often have opportunity to just sit down quietly and just read and reflect on the Bible for a long time. But I have other opportunities. I can listen to the audio Bible almost nonstop. I can listen to teaching. I can read the children's Bible to my children, and that can actually edify me. So find ways to fill your heart with the Word of God so that your mouth will overflow from it. And besides the Bible, also try whenever you can to fill your mind with good literature. I've been listening to a podcast recently where the host and her guest were discussing the necessity of reading old books in our modern age, because we're in an age where Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and our news alerts, everything is just the immediate, the current, and it's all frantic. It's all using very, very few words actually to often just comment on a very complex situation, because in those in that kind of media, there's just not time for a more in-depth look at very complex issues. So we're in this atmosphere of lots of words, lots of panic, lots of news, lots of excitement that just passes away. It's that the tweet of 2 days ago is outdated. And in that time, it is actually so important for us as Christians who believe in an eternal God who has all of history in mind, who is drawing all of histories to an end according to his purposes, that we also are not filling our minds only with these short-term fragmented words, but that we take time to actually read a book, read the words and thoughts of somebody who might have lived many years ago, and kind of slow down our own minds, ponder things that are not immediate and outdated again tomorrow, but that will really help us to store up good treasure in our hearts. Now, treasure is an interesting thing, né? Because treasure doesn't just happen overnight. Gold and diamonds take a long, long time to become gold and diamonds, if I can say it like that. And then even beyond that, they'll have to be refined. And often a treasure gains worth as it gains years. And in the same way, if we want to store up good treasure in our hearts, often we have to look a little bit in the past and store up thoughts that people have thought in the past, and then engage our minds into those thoughts and look through those glasses onto our current situation and let that refine our own thinking, our own speaking, as we engage in our modern world, as we engage in topics that are very current. So yeah, that is part two of number two. And of number three, sorry. And also, actually, don't only read Christian literature, but think about whatever you read from a Christian point of view. Sometimes it can be very good to actually read something from somebody who has a very different worldview, but engage with it. Again, allow time, allow deep thought to refine the treasure that you're storing up in your heart, to help you think well and to compare what you're reading with what you're reading in the Bible, and to think about a Christian response, a Christian way of thinking about whatever topic you're reading about. And that will really refine the treasure in your heart and refine the words that you're speaking. It will help you to speak words of wisdom and not just words of, a quick, thoughtless commentary and, as Jesus said, an empty word. Also, speak deeply and kind of glean from Christians who think and live well. That's also part of storing up good treasure in your heart. Often when I've spoken to older friends who are further on their road with Jesus and who can give me godly wisdom, again, this wisdom that has to kind of ripen over the years, we can glean that from older Christians. And often when I've spent time with that kind of friends, my mouth will also naturally overflow with their wisdom. I love sharing testimonies that they have shared with me, with other people. It's just on my mind because I'm excited about what they're telling me, and so I'll tell other people about it. And that's also part of building this treasure in your heart. And of course, as we think about what good things can we store up in our heart, really these things that last, this treasure, this gold that time will only make more precious and not make useless and worthless tomorrow. Also think about what else you expose yourself to. What is really just useless and will fade away with time? For me, a lot of just the instant news alerts, oh, this happened there, oh, this politician said that, oh, panic, oh, drama, that is not helpful to store up good things in my heart. I want to be informed. I want to know what is going on in the world, but often for that, actually, to read a longer news article where somebody has really done research and chosen a topic that is not at the top of the headlines today and forgotten tomorrow, those kind of news are actually more helpful for me to read than just the headlines of today. So yeah, look at the news media that you're exposing yourself to and ask yourself, is this helping me to store up good treasure in my heart or not? And then of course, also this applies to all media. And again, this is not a legalistic thing, and it might look different for you than it looks for me. For me, a lot of series and so on TV are just not not exciting. They're not, I don't feel they really nourish my heart, and therefore I really honestly just don't feel like watching them. But then there are movies that I find just lovely and relaxing and good, and that actually help me to store up good treasure in my heart, although they might now not be explicitly Christian or about the Bible or so. So I'm not saying, oh, certainly never watch TV or anything like that, but just look at what you watch and what you expose yourself to and see, is this adding to the treasure in my heart, or is this just junk that's filling up my heart with worthless and useless things that are just going to be burned up as time passes? Number four in this question, what can we do to overflow out of our mouths with helpful good things about Jesus? Number four, sincerely care for the people you're talking to. Ask Jesus to give you his heart and eyes. Pray for the people you're talking to, or that you're engaging with on a regular level. That will bring up honest questions that you want to ask them, that will really make you want to have conversations that cut to the core of their hearts, beyond all kinds of blah blah and superficiality. If you really care for people and you see them as Jesus does, you will want to speak words that uplift them. You will want to speak words that bring them closer to Jesus. You will want to speak words that might challenge them. You will want to speak words that might address sin in their lives, but you will do it with an authentic care. And yeah, ask Jesus to give you that authentic care, that authentic love for them. And yeah, finally, point number five, I'm going to quote Philippians 4 verse 8 to you. That also begins with finally. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think sometimes I can speak for myself here, I feel, but is that really true? Isn't that some kind of Pollyanna way of thinking? Everything, there's a silver lining on every cloud, and everything is somehow good and somehow lovely. That is not the Christian way of thinking, to close our eyes to a harsh reality. In fact, Paul, writing the letter to the Philippians, he's in jail. He is facing a really, really harsh reality. And he's not saying, I'm just pretending that I'm living in this palace, and I'm just pretending that whatever. This is not about pretense. This is not about positive thinking, about making ourselves believe that somehow things are good. This is the view that we can have on reality through Jesus. Through Jesus, Paul could actually look at his circumstances in prison, thinking that he's facing death, and he could say, rejoice. I'm going to say it again, rejoice. This is the lesson I'm learning in these terrible circumstances. We can rejoice always. And that does not make sense to the world. And the world might say we are naive. The world might say we are closing our eyes to reality. But this is the reality that we can experience through Jesus, that we can actually realize under the frantic current of daily events, there is a rock that is exactly those things. He's true, he's noble, he's right, he's pure, he's lovely, he's admirable, he's excellent and praiseworthy. Jesus is all those things, and he is real no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what's in the news. And the good news that we can be united with Jesus is also all these things. So again, this is not running away from reality. This is turning to the ultimate reality. Yeah, so store up these things in the treasure chest of your heart. Then your mouth will overflow with these things. Now lastly, one of the frustrations that I have when I really try to, speak what my heart is full of and direct conversations into the direction of whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and so on. One of the frustrations that I can have is that I might be wanting to speak about good, deep, and Jesus-centered things, but the person I'm speaking to might not be interested in that at all. They might want to just share their negativity, their conspiracy theories, their gossip, their negative talk about other people, or even just their superficial talk or whatever. So what can we do? I think one way that we can change the direction of those conversations is to ask questions that cut to the core when there's only negative talk. For example, we're now all living in this world where everybody is fed up with corona, and yet people seem to still not be able to speak about hardly anything else. And when they speak about it, it's usually negative things. But what we can do when people just speak negatively and complain about the government and complain about this and whatever, we can make it personal. What does it make you feel like to have all these restrictions? How do you experience them? How do you keep your mental health in check in these crazy times? What do you do when you can't go out so much and meet people? How do you connect with people? What fears come up in you as you think about this pandemic going around the world? And then to share what it does to you, to share honestly where you might be experiencing fear. The other day I was actually becoming a little bit fearful, you know, because it's just going on and on. And I thought, you know, I really don't want to die. This is really an odd, I mean, it's not an odd thought to not want to die, but I was thinking, if I am honest with myself, what makes me fearful about this situation? It's I don't want to die, and I don't want anyone I love to die or to suffer. And that realization of I don't want to die really got me searching my heart, because I said, but Jesus, I believe I'll be with you. So why would I not, you know, why am I then afraid? And some other thought struck me, but it's so unknown, you know, to die and to be dead is so unknown. And then I thought, but then let me get to know Jesus more. because I'll be with Jesus, and then I don't have to fear the unknown if I make my life pursuit to get to know Jesus more and more and to walk closer and closer with him, then eternity is just going to be a continuation of that. And then actually what I'm fearing in death is not going to be there anymore, because I know the one who I'll be with after death. And yeah, that because I've pondered that in my heart, my mouth will overflow of those kind of thoughts. And when the conversation then turns to fears related to the pandemic and the threat on our health and even our lives, that might come out. But yeah, actually what I was wanting to say was ask questions that really cut through the negativity. Also, another way to engage with people when we feel, yeah, this is just shallow and a bit useless, try to take a shallow conversation to a meaningful conversation. Sometimes there might not be an opportunity and there might not be an openness of the other person to actually have a spiritual conversation, but we can make it a meaningful conversation. For example, small talk about the weather might lead to a conversation of, does it make you feel gloomy when there's just bad weather for a whole week? And yeah, what do you do when you feel gloomy? That's already a lot more meaningful than just complaining about the weather. Or, yeah, sometimes complete strangers and people I know will make a remark about my kids. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, this or that. And instead of, you know, just keeping it kind of shallow and saying, oh, thank you, yeah, I know, I can take it to a more meaningful conversation. I can say, yeah, I love my kids to bits, but boy, they expose my selfishness every single day and they lead me to the limit of my patience. And it's kind of an interesting place to be in, to love somebody so much, but to also realize that my love is kind of finite. Although I want the best for my kids, often I grow so impatient with them. They can really push my buttons. And yet I have this kind of inner standard that love ought to be different. And that makes me so much more amazed at the love that God shows me, because his love is indeed different. I can, quote unquote, push the buttons of Jesus all day long, and he's still going to be patient with me. He's still going to love me. He's still going to lead me in the best ways. He is not driven by selfishness. He doesn't say at the end of the day, listen here, I'm tired. I don't want to now engage with you. I hope you sleep soon now that I can have a break. That's not what Jesus does. And yeah, I can lead a simple little remark about how cute my kids are into meaningful waters like that. And then we can take meaningful conversations to spiritual conversations. For example, we now speak about this seemingly endless corona pandemic, we can ask, wow, what dreams were kind of destroyed through the pandemic, through the restrictions in your life? What plans were destroyed? That is taking a kind of a shallow small talk conversation to a meaningful conversation. And then we can follow up and even turn that conversation spiritual and say, you know, what are your dreams for life, actually? What do you think is, you know, a life worth living? What is a kind of, you know, the purpose of your life? If you think about it, do you think your life has a purpose? Do you think someone actually made you with a purpose? And how can we find our purpose? Or If I coming back even to that conversation that I could have about my kids, starting with a little remark like, "How cute are your kids?" I can expand on the selfless love of God and how I've experienced that love personally, how I keep experiencing his patience. So yeah, those were a lot of words about words, and I hope that you are inspired to use your words wisely and to really be a wise woman who stores up treasure in her heart, treasure that might not be seen today or tomorrow, treasure that might need some time to be stored up in your heart until it will overflow and come out of your mouth. But really, I want to encourage you to guard your heart. What are you storing up in your heart? Are you storing up good treasure that will only become more precious with time and that will come out in your words? Or are you storing up bad things? I want to encourage you, where you're struggling with bad things that are stored up in your heart, turn to Jesus. Say, "I'm sorry, Jesus. I want to get rid of those thoughts, of those patterns, of those things in my heart. And I want to have a heart that pleases you." And he is faithful. He'll forgive you and he'll help you. And he'll help you to have conversations that please him. May he bless you. Thank you.